Good afternoon, my friend. What's up, buddy?
Oh man, I am doing great. How you doing?
Well, I was thinking about perfect, but that seems like okay. I'm at perfect. Yeah, I'll just admit it. I'm at perfect,
That's
but
great.
I'll get better. Don't you worry.
That's awesome.
I mean, I've been running and gunning. I drove 7 hours yesterday to get to where I wanted to be today to see customers, and then be able to get back to the hotel, which, as you can see by my background, is not my usual office, north or south. So I'm in a hotel in the east side of Columbus, Ohio. And the most important thing after talking to Aaron today, and we're on a mini rack and stack, because we've got another great guest we're going to record after. The next most important thing is, where am I going to go to eat dinner? And as you and I talked, by the time this show actually drops, I'll have been into the 75 hard for a little bit. So I've got like 3 days to sock away a little Dr. Pepper. So
that's little Dr. Pepper, quote unquote. that's interesting. I think I'm going to do the 75 hard with you, Randy.
I think you should. Let's do it.
I'm going to. So, well, I'll tell you what, instead of jawing about 75 hard and Dr. Pepper, how about we bring on our guest?
Yeah. Well, we should, because I already might leave the room when I think about Dr. Pepper. So maybe we should bring Aaron.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, brother.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director, Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Hey, Aaron, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, Randy, how are you, my friend? You doing okay?
You know what? I couldn't be better. As I mentioned in my fun little banter with my friend, my buddy, my pal, my occasional bodyguard, Wes Wyatt, producer extraordinaire. I'm already thinking about a Dr. Pepper after we get done with this evening. So,
there you go. What part of the world are you in this week?
I'm in Columbus, Ohio. I'll be in Cincinnati tomorrow, or Cincinnati-ish, I guess. And, Cleveland-ish later in the week. So, in our world, a lot of this business kind of tends to be in the outlying environs of the cities. But so I'll be around Ohio this week, and then I'll be back in Detroit Thursday evening to go Friday to the graduation ceremony for my oldest son, who's graduating from the Detroit Police Department Academy.
Wow, so, how impressive is that?
It's impressive. I'm impressed. I'm excited. So, yeah, so that's what I'm doing. So I was out this morning, got back in just in time to get set up in my makeshift shift studio office here in Hilton Garden Inn. That's where I'm at. And in Columbus, Ohio, all by the Easton Town Center, in case anybody knows where that's at. They want to come buy me dinner, even though this is recorded, so I'll be a little late, but we'll do it anyway. I'm always up for dinner. So you're in beautiful, steamy Scottsdale, Arizona.
That's right. It's 110 degrees today. Finally getting into the, very high temperatures here over the last week and a half. We set some new records here in the heat. Sounds like we're not getting out of it anytime soon. So I know we're in for another week of intense heat, somewhere between the 110 to 115, 116 range. So we're buckling up and bracing ourselves for that as well. So no relief in sight anytime soon, for sure.
So I got a question on that. It has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about, but so there's the feels like temperature, like, you know, whether I'm in Michigan where it's humid, or where I live most of my life is in Southern Florida, where it's, you know, feel like 107, 8, 9 right now down there with the humidity. Do you have a feel like with the low humidity, probably 5% humidity or something? Is there a feel like, so if it's 110, but it feels like 106, it doesn't work in the opposite?
No, it doesn't work in the reverse. there's still a real feel above and beyond the actual physical temperature. So
gotcha. Okay. So in other words, 110 is just crazy hot.
It could be 112, 113 real feel. So it's still hot. I don't care how you look at it, dry heat, wet heat, moist heat, whatever. It's still hot for sure.
Yeah, you start hitting 100's hot, but you start hitting that 108, 9, 10, 12, 15, and I don't care. I was saying off air that I remember being in Vegas 1 year in August, and I made the mistake of walking by a car, and I started to like weave a little bit, and so I put my hand out and touched the car, And I think I got instant third degree burns or something. It felt like, it's like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, that theory of frying an egg on the sidewalk is definitely not a theory. It's fact. You
can do it. It's fact. I got it. So, well, let's get started. So, number one, thank you for being on Building Wins. We appreciate it. As you know, we have industry leaders, which you certainly are, and other people from other genre that hopefully bring some value to the folks. And you're going to do both today. So, before we get started, I think the great spot is, you know, kind of like, where in the world is Waldo? Who in the world is Aaron Underwood?
Sure. Well, again, Randy, thank you again for including me in this this great platform. You're doing a great job for the industry. I really support what you're doing, and I am very happy to be part of this for sure.
Well, thank you.
But as far as you know, a brief history of who I am, what I am, and where I am. My name, obviously, Aaron Underwood. I'm currently the Vice President of Construction Products for Flack Global Metals. But coming into this industry, I have about 20 years in this industry at a company called Kenwood Painted Metals. That was a family-owned and operated company that my dad started in the early 80s. So my dad started this pre-painted metal service center in the early 80s. Prior to that, he was a long-term U.S. Steel guy, U.S. Steel service, U.S. Steel supply guy. My grandfather was a U.S. Steel guy. My great-grandfather was a U.S. Steel guy. So I guess if my dad didn't start his own company, I would have probably been on the track for being a U.S. Steel guy. But the moral of the story is, steel is in my blood. It's been in my blood for many, many years. Back in 2003, I entered the Kenwood Painted Metals, a family-owned and operated business, in the purchasing department. So in the purchasing side of things, we feel like the business starts with everything on the buy side. You know, if you're buying steel, you know, you're buying the steel, you're managing the steel process. I eventually had aspirations to be in the sales side of the business. So I took a reverse approach. I came in from the steel buying side. I procured steel with our buying group at Kenwood for many, many years. And then I moved into the quality department, working through the quality department, figuring out how quality impacts processes and products as well. So I went into the quality department for a while, and then I eventually went into inside sales and logistics. And then eventually went into the outside sales world. So I didn't start in sales. I kind of worked my way back from the starting point of the company. I mean, of the buy side versus now the sell side. So, but doing that, I found a profound interest in the light gauge construction world. I definitely was a big proponent of the post frame industry. I'd supported the industry through, you know, the NCCA and I mean the NFBA and the NCCA National Coil Coating Association, and learned the business that way. Put ourselves in a position where we were going to stock light gauge construction product materials, 26 gauge, 29 gauge, and 24 gauge. I really developed this program where we harness this just in time inventory program that we would manage for the regional roll formers, for national roll formers, and larger OEMs. So we did that, and then developed that business starting probably in 2005, and developed it into you know, $50 to $70 million stocking program business for Kenwood. Fast forward, you know, my dad was looking for. You know, my dad was getting older, and we were looking for the next phase of the Kenwood legacy program. And there was an opportunity to have a discussion with Jeremy Flack at Flack Global Metals. And going back to Flack Global Metals, we were looking for an opportunity to grow our space that we're currently in pre-painted metal only. Flack was a unique company in its own, where they were predominantly heavy gauge, hot roll, and galvanized. Going back into the industry where they got into the footprint of pre-painted steel is they acquired a company called Consolidated Metal Products in late 2016. So they developed that program for light gauge construction products that kind of mirrored where we were at. So we found some synergies between the companies. And then looking forward ahead to 2017, we ended up merging our business wins inside of Flack, putting the Kenwood piece inside of the Flack piece. And developed an overall service center that had not only light gauge construction products, but we could also service hot roll products, galvanized products. We do even aluminum products now. So we are very, very well rounded and well versed in the service center side of the business, providing all types of products. So that's kind of like my, you know, overhead view of the industry of how I got started. But my current tenure was 2003 till today. Is how long I've been in the industry. So 20 years this year.
Yeah, that's a good run. So like 20, 30, 40 more, and then we'll see what we do. Yes, do it. Let's do it. Well, that's one of the things that, you know, listen to that and what we just said. That's one of the things that really I enjoy about you is the love of the game, if you will. And I think we both, that's a synergy that you and I share, right? Is a love of the game. Because, man, if you don't love, I say this all the time, so I'll use one of my own taglines, but if you don't love what you do and do what you love, what are you doing? Right. You got to find a way to do that. And I can tell I've told many a people for anybody that we'll get to this later in the show. But for anybody that doesn't know yet, Aaron and I have joined some partnership here, and I'm representing FLAC Global Metals and a good segment of the U.S. and looking forwards and having fun doing that. But the thing that drew me to you had nothing to do with painted coil. I've been around my whole life. It had nothing to do with anything other than wanting to work with Aaron Underwood. And so that is a tribute to you and what you bring to the table in the industry. Because outside of that, I'm not sure I always had an interest, but not that big an interest. It's people, right? It's people and loving what you do. And I knew that we have to do business. We have to take care of business. But man, you got to love what you're doing, right?
Exactly. You hit that right on the head, Randy. I mean, that's what drew me to you. You know, I've been a huge follower of yours through the years. I actually had an opportunity to meet you in person for the first time a couple years ago at the NFBA show, and I believe it was Nashville.
Yep.
We were there chatting a little bit, and I ended up getting more involved in following you on the social media platforms that you're on, and following your podcasts and all that you're doing. And you know, I purposely reached out to you because I really, you know, had a really nice conversation with you that day. And I know that we in the industry that we're in overlap each other in some regard, you know, with what you're selling outside of just the coil, you know, and I felt that there was a synergy there, and you hit it right on the head. You want to do business with people that you like to deal with on the day-to-day side, the person, people that you have respect for, the people that you are really drawn to. And there was something about you that, you know, just really drew me to you, and I love what you do and do what you love. You know, not only me, but, you know, putting your tagline back onto you, you know, I have nothing but respect for you in that regard. Right. And I really wanted to find a way that we could synergize our businesses together to figure out where can we take this together with not, you know, not only what you're doing within your regular product portfolio, but also with the coil side of things. You know, I think there was a really great synergy there that I really wanted to focus on. And I appreciate you, you know, listening to me in that regard, because I'm sure you've been courted by many, many guys out in the industry for all those years. But coil is not an easy sale. You know, it's definitely something that it's a larger valued product. You know, a truckload of steel is, you know, like buying a car, you know, $30,000+. It's not buying a couple boxes of screws, not to negate the screw right sales. On. But, you know, it's a big investment for a lot of these guys. And I appreciate you and your efforts in wanting to work with FLAC and representing FLAC in the areas that we discussed. And I'm confident that we're going to do great things together.
Oh, so am I. And you know, just to piggyback on what you said, it's important back to you personally and to FLAC, because, you know, I did some vetting of FLAC before I said I want to do this, right? I want to know, besides you, I trusted, I want to know who this company is about, right? And I think it's important for anybody that listens. You all you really have at the end of the day in the world of sales is yourself, right? You have yourself. And if you don't promote yourself as a product, promote yourself as the guy or the gal, right, that's in front of the people, you're missing an opportunity. You're missing the boat. And my point of circling back to is that I couldn't take a product like coil to my customers without 100% confidence. And some people say 110%, but I don't, technically that it does exist in certain math, but 100% is 100%, right? I had to be fully confident that everybody has issues. Everybody has problems that'll arise somewhere. That's part of the business, right? Part of life. But I wanted to be able to go to somebody with confidence and they say, Randy, many times if I've done my job well with customers, they don't have to ask me if I vetted these guys because sure, they know that I wouldn't bring this to them if I had not vetted the company, the product, the service. And if you decide, Mr. Customer, to buy this product from me, I can guarantee you this, I have done my homework, right? And I think that's an important part. And that's a tribute to yourself and to Jeremy and everything that everybody's put together at FLAC. They're playing at the A game out there, and that's where I wanted to be. So,
and I think that's a really good point that you made. You know, obviously you have your own brand too, that you're representing us, and you know that you, what quality products and services you're providing on a day-to-day side, and putting that FLAC product in the portfolio mix gives it a Randy stamp of approval. Therefore, the customer should, with the longevity of you being in the industry and knowing that what products and services you're representing, you know that it's Randy approved at the end of the day. And
in other words, what you just said, I've been around so long, I'm old.
No, we're not going to get
that. I heard you say that. I that's what I read. But
read between the lines.
Exactly. That's okay.
At least you have hair. I don't.
Well, that's true. But mine's pretty gray. But I guess I can always color it, right? But
take gray over none.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's cool. It's all right. It makes me look smart sometimes, or even if I don't act smart. My wife said I shouldn't act 12. I said, what do you want me to act 8? Because that's the only way I got to go. I have no ability to go beyond 12. So that's the best you're going to get. So you talked about it a little bit, but give us a flavor of what it's like. But let me back up. What's the culture of FLAC? Give us the culture. Give us the flavor. What is a customer that I or anybody else brings into the FLAC family to start buying some or all or most of their products from us? Mm-hmm. What's that like to be involved with FLAC Metals?
Well, obviously we're selling a commodity. However, we want to differentiate ourselves and put ourselves in a unique position to put ourselves shed ourselves in a light where we're giving something outside of just, a known product, a quality, service, price. What we do is we have a multitude of different areas that we like to differentiate ourselves. And one, I'll highlight this as an example. We have a very unique customer experience onboarding process. And this is for you. Obviously you're going to bring some new guys under the fold. And just as a general idea of what we do is we have a very focused group of individuals that we onboard a customer. So let me give you an example of what an onboarding of a customer looks like. So Randy brings a customer in. Mr. or Mrs. Customer comes into the FLAC fold. What we're going to do as a company is we're going to get with your customer, with our, customer service group, our quality group. We're going to get with their key people. We're going to share documents like, hey, this is what a FLAC invoice looks like. This is what a quality issue would look like. And here's the person that you're going to want to contact for the quality. Is there someone on your side that we need to get involved with? We want to put everything up front. We want the customer to feel real comfortable about dealing with FLAC as a whole. And then not only that, we're going to walk them through the process of what everything looks like. Here's what a shipments would look like. Here's what a bill of lading would look like. Here's what our paperwork shows. Do you need anything additional on the paperwork that we don't necessarily include on the general stocking or the general side of our paperwork? We have all these different ways that we can tailor and customize these programs to the customer at the end of the day. So, and not only that, but what we also like to do is we used to do quarterly business reviews and annual business reviews with the customer. We want to know how everything is. We have a customer experience manager on full-time in our group. She is actually responsible for customer surveys and following up with customers on a quarterly basis and in an annual basis. We get all the people in the room at the end of the year or whatever the cadence is and want to know how FLAC is performing. What can we do better? How can we better service the account? Is there any quality issues? Is there any timing issues? I mean, so we vet this process pretty intensively, and I think it gives the customer a better feeling that they're just not dealing with a run-of-the-mill standard, service center. We actually engage and get our group engaged with them in a way where we're actually part of their business. We're just not just a supplier. We're actually a very key and integral part of their ongoing business. Whether it's if there's an issue, God forbid, they know who to call, they know what to do, and they know what to expect. And the same for us. We want to make sure we know what they expect too. And there's all customers aren't the same. They all don't fit into the same box. Right. They're unique in their own way. And we want to make sure that we're tailoring our business to them in a way that makes it easy to do business together. One of the things that we surveyed a lot of the customers, we did a double blind survey a couple of years ago. And one of the top reasons people like FLAC, people do business with FLAC, it's not because of price. throw price out. Okay. Price is an obvious thing, but one of the biggest things that people wanted, reasons why they gave, the top, I think it was top one or two reasons, was the ease of doing business with someone, how easy it was to deal with Fleck, how easy the paperwork flowed, how easy it was to communicate. So we really took that into consideration in developing this customer experience position within our group. And I think it really differentiates us in a very highly commoditized marketplace. It gives customers, again, an overall feeling that they're part of, that we're part of their process, not us being part or them being part of our process.
You know, that I'm not writing notes to people. I'm writing notes to myself to circle back, because that was like three at least really key ingredients right there. And going back to the first, and you didn't use the word, maybe you did, but you're managing customer expectations right out of the gate. But we now are allowing them to help us manage their expectations, manage our expectations. And I like that. It's not just, and I made a secondary note. You think about, we all like sports analogies, right? And good coaches at any level, there's a basic way of running the team, right? There's a basic way that we have to do business, but every player is not the same, right? Yeah. Some players need more motivation in one way than others. Some need to be kicked in the butt a little bit and maybe in their face just a little bit, so to speak. And you get them cranked up. Others need a little more soft hand, right? And I think it's the same way with using that into businesses. Too many times in business, don't we, Aaron, don't we in business, this is our policy, this is our plan, this is the way it's going to work. But what if that doesn't fit Billy and Joe over here, right? Well, then you just got to suck it up, and live with it. But see, the problem is they don't have to, because customers have this really funny thing called a choice, right?
Yeah. That's it right there. You hit it right on the head. And if they don't fit in your box, you know, we want to make sure that this whole thing works for the customer. You know, and I know we deal with a lot of Amish Mennonite folks mm-hmm. in our industry. We deal with, you know, so there's different ways to communicate with them, mm-hmm. different things that they need outside of, you know, other folks in the industry. So we are very adaptable to whatever the Mr. or Mrs. customer needs and how they need it and how it's needed to be delivered, whether it's documents via mail or a fax or whatever else these days. We'll be able to do whatever it takes for to accommodate the customer. And again, the customer experience is what we're looking to highlight and achieve. And as you said, exceed the expectation of the customer.
Exactly. It's really, I love the whole onboarding concept, because a lot of times we think of onboarding as maybe a new employee, right? You have an onboarding process with a new employee. But I love that theory, because shouldn't that same thing, I guess, that we're trying to accomplish when we onboard an employee be put into the onboarding a customer? And obviously a lot of people don't do that, but I mean, seriously, applaud for that. I love that concept of here's what we do. Here's how we do it. Here's what we expect. Will that work for you? Right. The best time to find that out is not really. Because we can't do this or we can't do that. Isn't it better to find that out before we got five trucks rolling on the road and trying to figure that out later? Let's just figure out, well, if you can't do that, well, then let's find a way to make it work, right? So, and you hit another one, and I want you to speak to that, but I don't want to forget this. You know, we talk about the box, right? We all talk about thinking out of the box, but let's always be trying to expand the box, right? And occasionally you need to climb to the top of the box on a little stepladder, lift the top up, right? And peek around a little bit, because there's a whole lot of other stuff outside of any box that we create for ourselves, right? And that's what we're doing with this onboarding. So,
yeah, so that is definitely one of the key features. You know, obviously where we differentiate ourselves from a lot of folks is we take this approach up front. You know, how many times this has saved us in the past, you know, with how to load a coil. I mean, can the customer take a coil loaded eye to the sky, eye to the side, whatever. I mean, we establish all this stuff up front ahead of our first shipment and gets that customer really feeling comfortable that we know their business and we understand what their needs are. outside of just assuming or just saying, hey, this is how we do it. You got to deal with it. No, that is definitely not our approach. We want to definitely take a different approach to this heavily commoditized marketplace and make ourselves a little bit more unique than others in that regard.
Well, and again, taking an overused word, but it really is partnering up with the customer as opposed to just being your coil supplier, right? We want to, like you said early on, we want to be an integral part of doing business together. And if you're partners and you're true partners in business, then we have to set those expectations early. We have to manage them as we go through the process, right? And adjust when they need adjusting, which will probably happen at some point, right? And yes. But what's key is by having those conversations up front, I think, that screams at the top of the mountain to the customer, man, I kind of like this idea of what they're doing here. These guys sort of, they're almost like they want to like be part of our business, not just do business with us, right?
Yep. You hit it right on the head again. I mean, you are speaking the lingo, Randy. You're doing great. That's exactly what the message is to all the to all our current customers and all our prospective customers too. We want to be part of your business and not just being a coil supplier, but actually being an integral part of that partnership. You know, we understand we can't be everything to everybody. And I know there's people that have, you know, primary and secondary type suppliers, but no matter what level of participation that we're in with our customers, we want to make sure that we're, you know, in there with the customer every step of the way.
Right.
Along the way in the planning process and to fully executing, you know, a deal. We want to make sure they're comfortable with us. And that's what differentiates ourselves.
That is. That's a big differentiator right there. So I love that. So what's the give me the Aaron Underwood / Flack state of the industry right now? How do you see the metal industry in general, and maybe in specifically in our world of what we do, the metal roofing, whether it be residential, post frame, or commercial, industrial? Where are we at now compared to 5 years ago, 2 years ago? Where do you see us moving forward? This is the crystal ball moment.
Well, I don't like to predict, but you know, I'll give you just some general statements about what we see on our side from the day-to-day business that we're in and doing every day. You know, right now I think we're in a very unique time in the market. You know, we're midway through the year. I think there's some cautious optimism in the marketplace. I think there's folks that are, you know, buying what they need and not doing anything too outside of, you know, going long on their buys. I think the business as a whole is good. I don't think there's anything to necessarily be worried about at this time. Obviously, there's inflation, there's labor issues, there's all the known things we've heard about over the last 6 to 12 months that are, you know, the economy. You know, what's this economy going to do? I think we turned the stepping back into 2022. I think there was a lot of uncertainty, if you will, in the 2023. And as the calendar turned and as quarter one came in and now quarter two has passed, now I think people are saying, okay, maybe this thing isn't really going to happen, meaning a big economic bust and a recession. Inflation has maybe not taken as big a toll as they thought they would. You know, obviously these are things that you got to think about, but labor being an issue too. But I think overall, the state of the union, I think things are going well. I think if people are just staying, you know, vigilant about their inventory, staying vigilant about, you know, costs, I think there, you know, there is a lot of demand still from both the regional based and the national based roll formers that I talk to and deal with. You know, they're saying that they're meeting and exceeding forecasts. Their backlogs look great. So I think overall, I think for the balance of the 2023, I think we may have a little bit of a foggy crystal ball view into fourth quarter. You know, I don't know what's really going to happen fourth quarter, but third quarter, I think we're going to keep plugging through. You know, first and second quarter have been great. Third quarter, I think, should still be good. You know, where I'm a little hazy is the third and late third into early fourth quarter. But as a whole, we are pleasantly surprised at what 2023 has been shaping up to be. Yeah. If you were to ask me this same question last year around that same time.
I think we all in this industry remember being at trade shows and there was that trepidation, right? And I don't think anybody was at the fear mode.
No,
but there was a concern, or a moderately heavy concern. I don't even know that I saw it as a heavy concern, but there was that, I don't know, we'll see. And like you said, so far it's I see the same thing from all the products that I'm involved with. It's all right.
And I don't mean to flip the script on you, but I know you sell a lot more than, you know, more diverse product than I do. You know, I'm in the exclusively the coil. How's the other accessories doing? Are they still holding their own?
Oh, very much so. But keep in mind that those will piggyback with what coil does, because none of the accessory items, because I'm a component guy by nature, right? If the coil doesn't get bought from somebody, and they're not rolling metal or wrinkling tin, as I like to call it, if they're not wrinkling tin,
I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, sometimes I say to guys, I said, why do you take perfectly good, nice, smooth, beautiful coils and run through this machine and wrinkle it all up, and then you get charged more money? I said, that's like taking a gallon of water and putting in those little tiny bottles and charging twice as much. I said, that's a great program.
I got to remember that.
It's great. Yeah, just wrinkling tin. You know, I had a guy once, and you may have to bring him back, and I'm going where I didn't intend to go, and I may forget where we started, but I had a guy once who was starting a business many, many, many years ago, and it's Qualiform Metals. I don't have any problem, you know, using their name. Paul Reif, that started that company a million years ago, we were riding around because we were really good friends. And I mean, we still are. We just don't see each other as much now. And he's going to start this roll forming part of the business, right? And he's coming up with all these names. And I kept trying to get him, and I failed. I'll admit, when I fail, I fail. I felt like Paul's Wrinkled Tin was the name. And we went and had lunch on it like 5 times, coffee about 10 times. And every time I tried, and Aaron, well, we know it's Qualiform. It's not Paul's Wrinkled Tin. So I will admit I failed on that one. I thought that was a brilliant name, though. But
apparently it was. There's one for you. Better coin it now before this airs.
I think I may have to put that out there. So trademark that. Anybody that goes with Paul can buy my. I'll just get about the 50 top selling first names out there, right? Biggest first names, and I'll just get them all. .com them all. Yeah, you want that? Yep. That's 50 grand.
There
boom.
You go.
Next. So, but no, that's really it's interesting to hear your take on the industry, because as we were saying, accessories don't get sold unless the coil gets sold, right? And so it really tags right along on the heels of where coil is. So it's good to hear your take on where coil is, at least through the third quarter and you know, probably into the fourth. You know, it's in today's world, it's really tough to start getting overly aggressive and predicting into next year already. That's just, you know, that's just hard to do right now, right? It's a challenge. It's just a guess at best, right? Probably.
Sure.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But so I know you've gave me a lot of time, which I appreciate. And we're going to be spending a lot of time together, you and I, but, what we kind of touched on it, but let's just, take the last 4 or 5 minutes, whatever you want. And give me your view on where we all go forward from here, the industry, flat metals, you and I, whatever you want to talk about. I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't, you know, I don't have any specific, but we can just kind of chat here and talk about, you know, you're in my path forward. I know, we talked briefly about it at the beginning of the podcast, but I'm very, very excited about working with you and working with your customer base and growing together, with regards to the absolute development of your product portfolio. This is a key to our website here, flatglobalmetals.com. There's a lot of different things in our website that differentiates ourselves from the other parts of the industry. You know, FLAC is basically set up like a three-legged stool. We have three components to our business that we like to look at. FLAC Global Metals, that's the FGM side of the business. That is our physical metals distribution business. That's, you know, our light gauge galvalume, galvanized, pre-painted products that we're offering, aluminum, heavy gauge galvanized, purlin, hot roll. You know, we have it all. You know, we stock all that material. We can buy and supply and manage that supply chain From the physical metal side. And then we also have a FLAC metal bank side. That's our financial services group here at FLAC. They help risk mitigate risk, creating certainty for your business using the hot roll futures exchange, allowing for hedging. I know there's a lot of buzz around hedging and price risk management in the industry. That is something that we are very, very comfortable with, leading the industry with regards to the trading of the hot roll future coil, designing contracts and deals with our customers that allow them to fix their pricing into the future using some of our financial tools and services. We also have our third leg of our stool right now, which is called the FLAC metal investment side of the business. As you probably know, FLAC has made our first physical OEM purchase earlier in the year. Back in February, we closed on Fabrel. Fabrel is one of the leading building envelope distributors in the country with 8 locations. We are feeling that the vertical integration of this industry right now is going to be something prevalent. And what FLAC is doing is we're investing some of our own capital and resources inside of some OEMs. Fabrel being our first. In utilizing our risk management tools, we're using our sourcing optionalities and our supply chain management to better invest ourselves into some companies that might need some assistance in doing that. And then last but not least, we actually started our own physical service center back in March of 2023 here. We opened up FGM Houston. FLAC Houston is right inside the Port of Houston. We have a state-of-the-art slitting operation there, warehousing operation that we're able to bring in steel, manage it, warehouse it, and then obviously process it as well inside the Port of Houston. So there was a big need for a slitter outside of the ones that were already there. There was a lot of demand for slitting and storage down in the Port of Houston area. So we invested in a warehouse down there that opened for business March 2023. So we're really kind of, well-rounded compared to where we were, 5-6 years ago when we were trying to figure out who we are. I guess in a way, we're still trying to figure out who we are. We're developing, we're evolving, we're looking at different ways to, diversify our portfolio and make FLAC a little bit more unique than your average service center. We want to bring optionality, diversity to the supply chain, whether it's through a financial service, whether it's through vertical integration, and whether it's not through physical metal distribution. So we're very happy with the path we're on and very excited about what the future holds.
Love it. Well, as we discuss, I'm thrilled with what you guys are doing, and it's going to be fun, my man. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm really looking really, really forward to it, Randy. I know you and I have a long runway ahead of us, and I'm super, super excited to be part of this.
You got it, buddy. Hey, that's it. I think we need to get you out of here. You got to get back to work. And
it's back to selling steel, right?
Back to selling some steel. I better go sell some steel or you won't be saying good things about me anymore. So I guess I better go earn my keep. So,
Randy, thank you again. I really appreciate the opportunity for you and your viewers, and look very forward to working closely with you here for the years to come.
You got it, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Aaron Underwood, Vice President of construction services, construction sales. He's just a big guy. That's what he is. And so if that was not a little entertaining chat, I love his concept on doing business and vetting on onboarding customers. And that is something that I think we all need to work harder at doing, because I do think we have a tendency to our way or no way as reps or sales guys or companies. And I think if we can take a lesson from that is, how does this work as a partnership, right? How does it work as a team? So anyways, FLAC Global Metals, Aaron Underwood, appreciate you being on, brother. And that is probably about enough for today. I'm going to go get me a glass of water. No Dr. Pepper, because I'm on 75 hard. Let's rock it. Anyways, love what you do. Do what you love. Live it, love it, own it. And if you do all those things, you will make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Cheers, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.